proclaiming the gospel throughout the world. Bill Winston Ministries is bringing lost souls to Jesus Christ and teaching them how to walk in a victorious life. We invite you to receive all the blessings that God has for your life. Bill Winston Ministries presents The Believer's Walk of Faith.
All right, in Mark chapter 11, this is the story of Jesus speaking to a fig tree. Now, Jesus was operating as a man anointed by God. He was fully God and fully man, but his operation here was an operation where he was operating as a human or man that basically had no sin in him. Now, I say that because we've been studying righteousness on Sundays, and you can operate just like you have had no sin in you. That's the revelation of what I've been trying to bring forth, that we can operate just like Jesus. But he was operating here by faith. And let's just read a little bit. I'll read a little bit, and we'll then branch out into it. We're still talking about real faith, and this particular lesson is going to be subtitled, Faith That Works. Look at verse 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry, talking about Jesus. This is showing the human side of him. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said to it. Now here he was talking to a tree. Now this tree bore no fruit, meaning that it was time for the tree to bear fruit, but the tree was not bearing fruit. And he said to the tree, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. Now I really believe that this is Jesus acting on the same way Adam was created in the garden at first, when God said, let man have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth. And here's Jesus. He is changing and rearranging the earth. He is taking dominion, taking his authority, and using his authority in a way that he has cursed this tree. And the Bible says his disciples heard it. So I take it from there that Jesus was not only doing some kind of an act whereby he felt led to speak to this tree, but also he was demonstrating something to his disciples, because he spent that 3.5 years teaching them by word and by demonstration or illustration. And then it says in verse 15, and they came to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple. So there was the religious people in the temple, and they had brought some of the things of the world in the temple, and these things Jesus responded to or reacted to. In verse 17, and he taught, saying unto them, is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people were astonished at his doctrine. And when the evening was come, he went out of the city. Now look at that as the first day, because he came in the morning. He came by the tree. The tree had no fruit on it. He spoke to the tree. Then he went on in the city. He did the business there in the temple. He taught. Then that night he came out of that particular place, and he went back up. The assumption is to where he was sleeping, which the evidence here points to the fact it was Bethany, where Martha and Mary and them lived. And verse 20, and in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. So notice this is the next morning now. This is approximately 24 hours after he spoke to this tree. Notice the tree was dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, said unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away. So it says here that Peter calling to remembrance. Now, this is very key, because there are some things sometimes you can be believing God for, and because they happen from the spirit realm, then many times they happen without you being aware that they took place. And it's after some days or something, you say, wow, I did believe God for that. My goodness, this thing did happen, and so forth. But here, Peter saw it. So it says that it was dried up from the roots. Now, the thing that happens here, you have to realize, is that God is a spirit. Say, God is a spirit. And God, who is a spirit, made all matter. He made all matter. Now, so the spirit was there before the natural. You got it? Now, realize that things that are there in the natural were first spiritual. They were first unseen before they were seen. Now, it says here that it was dried up from the roots. So now, here is Jesus. He is cursing this tree, and he is going around the system of going to Ace Hardware and buying a Mini Mac chainsaw. He went completely around that system, and he spoke to it, and the tree obeyed him. Now, he's showing you how you're made. Now, I know for some of you who have not had teachings like this, this sounds a little far-fetched, but I just want you to hang in here with me. Look at verse 22. And Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Now, another way of saying that is have the God kind of faith. Now, he's demonstrating the God kind of faith right here. Verse 23. And for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now, I want to slow down on that just a little bit, because it's key that you get to know what I just said. He said, whosoever shall say unto this mountain. Now, sometimes we think that's not a physical mountain, but that could be a physical mountain. Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass. Now, notice where you have to believe. You have to believe in your heart. Now, you can have doubt in your mind, but you got to believe in your heart. Now, this believing, we're going to go over that in just a minute, because that's a central part of you getting this thing to operate. But shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. Now, it didn't say shall believe that thing which he says shall come to pass. That's not what it said. It says shall believe that those things that he says shall come to pass. See, you have trained your heart. So it's saying here that your heart, you have to have a believing heart. That you, one of the things that the enemy tries to do is try to get you to misuse words. In other words, not to value your speech. Not to believe anything you say. So what you say is things, if a person says, well, you know, my feet are killing me. Well, that is a thing that people say, but that is what you're doing with that is, you know, your feet are not going to kill you. So why say that? See, and notice what happens now. We're not believing what we say will come to pass. So you can train your heart to believe nothing. I mean, to believe, to not carry out what you say. Now notice, which has more power, the spirit or the natural? The spirit. See, God is a what? Spirit. And he has power over all what? Natural. See? Now notice, the same thing that's in God is in you. And that's something that a lot of believers, a lot of people in church don't like to receive. Because that's blasphemy. That's not blasphemy, that's the truth. You're a child of God. The same thing God's got in him, you got in you. The same way God operates is the same way He's made you and me to operate. How does He operate? Before you saw light outside, where was light? Inside. It was in God. And when God spoke light, He believed what He said. Come on, it's come to pass. He spoke it. Where did He speak it from? From the inside out. Now, if you're going to have something, and you're going to have something outside, and you're going to walk by what? Faith. Then you're going to have it inside before it gets outside. Because what your words do is transport it from the image inside to the outside. That's why can't nobody hold you back. That's why the only thing the devil wants to stop is your faith. Because the only thing that will defeat him is your faith. Everything else he can stop. But he cannot stop faith. That's why you fight the good fight of what? Faith. See, you're not fighting the devil. You're fighting faith. You're making sure that your faith is operating. Because the enemy is not after you. He's after your faith. See? So when Jesus speaks, he's not basing what he can do on the outside. He's basing what he can do and what he can have on the inside. Because unless you get it on the inside first and believe it with your heart, you can't speak it out and have it in the natural. Are you following what I'm saying? I mean, you were made that your provision come from the inside out, not the outside in. Mary's baby came from the inside, but it started with the Word. You can take the Word, put it in your heart, and it grows up inside of you and produces an image, and then the harvest time has come, and that's when you can act on it. You can speak it out. You can act on it, and the power of God will go into operation and manifest the Word. Are you following what I'm saying? So you can get healed up on Mount Vesuvius by yourself. All you need is the Word. So can anybody hold you back? So all you need, let's say you need a car. Where is the car going to come from? Inside. The only thing you got to do, though, is you got to find the car in the Word. See, you got to have a word for the car. See, God made it so that you bring the thing from the inside out based on His Word. In other words, if it's not in the Word, you don't need it. All right, let's keep going here. Now that I got my lights back on. Oh, I'm telling you. I ain't through with you. All right, but anyway, let's go on down. Mark chapter 11, and look at verse 24. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. Now, that's the second part of verse 23. Got it? Therefore. Whenever you find therefore, what are you going to do? You're going to find out what it's there for. All right, I want to read that same scripture, verse 24, out of Weymouth's translations, Richard Francis Weymouth translation, W-E-Y-M-O-U-T-H. All right. He said, that is why I tell you, whatever you pray and ask for, if you believe that you have received it, it shall be yours. All right, I want you to say this with me. You ready? Say this with me. That is why I tell you, whatever you pray and ask for, if you believe that you have received it,
it shall be yours.
Now notice what he said. You have to believe that you've received it. You have to believe that you've received it. Now, when you believe you receive something, you act different. When you believe you have something, come on now, don't you act different? I want to read one from the Amplified translation. Here's what it says. For this reason, I am telling you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe, trust, and be confident that it is granted to you and you will get it. So he is saying here, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe, trust, and be confident that it is granted to you, and you will get it. Now, why is this saying all of this? Because the Bible is, the New Testament is the last will and testament of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a statement of what Christ has left us in the will. He wants us to have it, or he never would have put it in here. Now, he specified in this will what he wanted to happen with his belongings. So now, he made out the will, placed it in the document, both the old and the new, placed it in the document, and then the document is called a Bible, in this case, in here. And then he signed it with his blood. Then he died. Because you know, to get an inheritance, somebody got to die. So he died. But he didn't stay dead. But he did die. So legally, the inheritance has been passed on. But he didn't stay dead. Now hold on. What he did is, after 3 days, he rose up again. Now, what he is doing now is he rose up and he's making sure that the will is carried out. Are you with me? So he is making sure that no one tampers with this, and making sure that his heirs receive their inheritance. So he's out there probating the will. See, he's telling the Holy Ghost, tell him this, tell him that, lead him here. Now, what is faith? Faith is simply reaching out and taking hold of what belongs to us and pulling it out of the spirit world into this physical three-dimensional world so that your senses can use it. That's all faith is. Now, everything that's physical existed in the spirit first. So it's in the spirit, it's yours, God wants you to have it, and you've got to have faith to reach out and get it. Are you with me? Now, you've got to have faith that takes, and not the faith that waits. Because what the enemy's job is to do is to talk you out of your inheritance, to make you feel like this is not yours, or it's not yours right now. But I'm here to tell you, where most Christians are is most Christians are waiting on God. Now, God has already given it to them. It's already in the spirit. All the Christians have to do is go take it. Now, you're not taking it from God, because he's already given it. But you're taking it from the devil, because he's been sitting on your stuff, trying to talk you out of it. Either trying to make you feel so condemned that your faith won't work, or tell you it's not yours right now. You're going to get it when you get to heaven. But there are rewards for us in heaven. And thank God for those rewards. But there is some good stuff right here, right now, that is ours. So all you have to do is go into the will.
and decide what you need in this hour and get some faith and take what belongs to you. Now, I'm saying that because it's a tendency to wait and wait. I believe I receive. I believe I receive. And you said enough of that. Now you need corresponding action. Let's go over there to James chapter 2, please. James chapter 2. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yeah, see, the Christians are busy waiting on God. See, they're waiting on God, see. And what's happening really is they're really waiting on something they can feel. They're waiting on some physical evidence that what God has promised them, they can go in and get it now. But you don't need to wait. Find it in the Bible. Now, I'm only showing you, how long did it take Jesus' faith to work? 24 hours. Now, I'm saying, when he preached on the shoreline and Peter was bringing in the net in the morning, washing his net, here's Jesus. He comes to preach. Peter overhears him preaching. Then Jesus asked to use Peter's boat, and Peter gave him his boat. Then Jesus sat down and began to teach the people. Now, Peter's sitting right there listening to all this. Then he turns to Peter and said, launch out into the deep and let down your net for a catch. Now, notice Peter said, wait a minute. We fished all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at thy what? Word. See, you're not looking for any evidence on the outside to give you any validation that it's time now to do what you got to do. See, that's the key. Faith is beyond your five senses. There is nothing in that scripture that has to do with senses. It says, whatsoever you desire when you pray, just believe. I said, just believe. See, believing is commitment. And that's what a lot of folk don't want. They don't want to commit to anything. But God requires commitment in faith. Some folk are trying to get faith without real commitment. Now, let me give you an example. Let's say you're going to go on an airplane. How many of you have flown on an airplane before? All right? Now, how many of you have passed by the ticket counter, and after you bought the ticket, you asked to purchase a parachute? Now, the reason why I say that is why? Because you're going to get on that airline, whatever airline it is. And once you get on there, it's not like one of those scooters that you can ride and drag one of your feet. You can't drag one of your feet down that runway. Once you get on there, you have committed your trust to those people, that airline, and the mechanics, and everything. You have committed your life to it. And that's when it flies. That's when you leave this ground. Now, I'm telling you, believing is the same thing. Thou believe. When you believe, you commit to it. You are totally committed. And that's what people don't want. See, but faith works on commitment. You've got to commit. You've got to commit. You've got to say, wait a minute, I'm putting my trust totally in God. Oh, there's all kinds of places. Where did I tell you to turn, by the way? All right, you're at James, but I want to show you something. Let's just look at this commitment. Are you ready? Now, you got James there. Put something right there. We're going to come back. I'm talking about commit now. Let's go to Luke's gospel. Let's go to Luke first. Praise God in heaven. Hallelujah. Luke's gospel. See, you've got to transfer your trust. Luke's gospel, Luke chapter 17. Let me know when you get there. Say amen. I look at Luke chapter 17. Here's what he says. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria, Galilee. And as he entered into the village, certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their what? Voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, come on, they were cleansed. Now, what was wrong with that command for them to go show themselves to the priest? What was wrong with that? Come on now. What was wrong? They had leprosy. Now, according to the Jewish law at that time, when were you supposed to show yourself to the priest? When you were healed. But they didn't do that. They had to go and commit to being embarrassed. Now, you got to see this. See, because that's what it takes. It takes commitment. You got to get that foot off the runway and put it in the airplane and let the airplane take off. You're going to have to trust yourself to that airplane. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice and glorified God. He fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give the glory to God, save this stranger. And he said to him, arise, go thy way. Thy what? Thy what? Thy faith has made thee whole. Now, I want you to see this. Now, I'm going to deal with this. I see right now I got to stop right here. I got to stop right here. Because this is where people haven't gone. See, when I left Minnesota and came here, I came here with $200. Now, who was I trusting? God. I had to commit to it, folks. But look at the results of it. Now, let's go to Mark chapter 5. Come on. I'm going to just take you through this a little bit. I'm going to build up your faith right now in the name of Jesus. When I'm ministering to somebody and I'm calling out things, or God is speaking to me about things or what to preach and so forth like that, folks, I have no natural evidence. I'm just like you sitting there right now. I have to hear God. I have to believe that I heard what I heard, what I thought I heard. I got to act on something that I have no physical proof that God said that. I got to act on it. I got to believe it. I'm asking God, I said, God, I got to go preach in Tulsa tomorrow night. I said, God, what am I going to preach? And I said, Lord, right now, I believe that I've received what you want me to preach in the name of Jesus. Now, I can't feel nothing, but I believe that he's loaded in my heart. Once I said that, now it's going to start bubbling up. Now, I ain't going to doubt when it starts coming forth. Well, God, is this really what you... I'm not going to even ask that question. I'm going to go right there and act like what he told me and what I heard was the truth. Say amen to that. And that's why some people don't get anywhere with God, because it takes trust with God. Faith is a root word, the same root word in the Greek as trust. You got to trust in the Lord with how much? All of your heart. You got to give it to him. But that's when faith is released. Faith takes commitment. Look what it says here. Now, this is a woman who had an issue of blood. She stopped the man of God as he was going to Jairus' house. Look what it says here in verse 25. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had. She was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his what? Garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I'm going to be made what? Whole. And the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she knew, felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, now who touched my clothes? And the disciples said to him, you see the multitude thronging you, and you're asking who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. The woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said to her, what? Daughter, what? Thy faith, come on, has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of that plague. What kind of commitment did that woman have to have? Come on. She had to touch the clothes of a rabbi. And Jesus was walking with the ruler of the synagogue. Now, the ruler of the synagogue knew that she had an issue of blood because it calls her a certain woman. That means everybody knew who that woman was. Now, what was she supposed to be? In the house or outside? In the house. By law, you couldn't come out. So notice what she did. She was willing to commit to it. She was willing to give everything, including her life. Come on now. But notice, it released God's power. See, faith releases God's power. Let me ask you, what in the world is it that God cannot do with his power? Nothing. He can fix anything. You know, I was preaching the other Sunday, and I said something. I said, not only can God raise up a man who's been dead 4 days and his body decomposing, but really God can raise up a man who's been dead for 40 years. And you know, when I said that, I said, whoa, where'd that come from? And I'm trying to figure out, where is that? And my wife, we were talking the other morning. She said, sweetheart, you know, you said something about God can raise up somebody in 40 years. He did. I said, what was that? She said, notice in the book of Matthew, when Jesus died on that cross, notice that the rocks rent and so forth. And notice the people who had been dead for years came up out of the grave. I said, go ahead. So when you operate by faith, you release the power of Almighty God. The same one that made this whole world is now at your disposal to fix anything that you've got. All you got to do is believe, is step out on the word of God. Come on, let's finish. Let's do another one. Come on over here with me to Daniel chapter 3. See, it's all in here. If thou can believe, you'll see the glory of God. Folks, when Jesus was at the tomb of Lazarus, and he said, Lazarus, come forth. Before he did that, he told them, roll away the stone. Well, Jesus was putting his whole ministry on the line, but he was operating by faith. You see, faith is a law. It will never fail. Glory to God. Look what it says here in Daniel chapter 3 and verse 13. Then Nebuchadnezzar in his rage and fury commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not you serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if you be ready, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made, it's well. But if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hand? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, the God whom we serve, he's able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto you, O king, that we will not serve your God, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. And what religion did with that is it said, when that verse said, but if not? And they said, well, it means that if God doesn't deliver them. That is not what it was saying. If God didn't deliver them, then the rest of that sentence wouldn't even be needed. It wouldn't be no interest, no need for them bowing down and worshiping God. My point is this. Notice, they put everything on the line. They put everything on the line. But notice what's got to die when faith comes alive. Your flesh has got to die. And people don't want to die to the flesh. They want the flesh to have some say-so in what's going on. But God said, let no flesh glory in my presence. I'm telling you, he won't buy your flesh at all. It's your spirit. It's a real you that's got to come before God and believe. Say amen to that. All through the Bible. How about the woman who had only one more meal left? Man of God said, okay, I'm going to give you something that you can do to release your faith. Feed me first. Glory to God. Are you following what I'm saying?
Amen.
How about the four lepers? Here they were. This is what they said. Why are we going to sit here till we die?
Amen.
If we go into camp with Israel, they don't have anything to eat. They're starving to death.
Amen.
If we sit here, we're going to die.
Amen.
Why don't we just get up and release
Amen.
Our faith and go into the enemy's camp?
Amen.
See, when you walk by faith, you put your flesh on the altar. You offer it up. Okay? It's a sacrifice. So, Lord, I believe you. I believe you will deliver me. Now, let's just read James. Let's just read James. Be ready to go. See, if it were easy, everybody would be doing it. Oh, it's simple, all right. James chapter 2, verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren? Though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace and be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding, you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? If so, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith by thy works. No, pardon me. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils believe that and tremble. But will thou know, O vain man, that faith without works, come on, is dead. Let's go to one more place. Numbers chapter 23, please. Numbers chapter 23. That flesh has got to die. Ooh-wee. You better let it go and die. Look what it says here. Verse 19. God is not a man that he should lie. Neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Every promise God spoke in this word, he's ready to make it good. One more place, go over to Titus. Titus is right after the book of Timothy. Titus. Glory to God. Titus. Titus chapter 1 and verse 2. In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. So the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1, chapter 11, verse 1, so then faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. You're not waiting on God. God's waiting on you. When Peter launched out into the deep, his friends were up on the shoreline watching him. They knew you couldn't catch fish out there in the daytime. He was willing to suffer embarrassment. A lot of people trying to make themselves look good, stay in good graces with their friends and relatives. But when you take that step of faith, Lord, have mercy. I'm going to tell you, your mind be saying, Lord, I hope it works. I'm the first to admit it. But see, you can have doubt in your head while you still have faith in your heart. Did you get something out of that tonight? Give the Lord a prayer. All right, if you just hold on for just a minute, please. I really enjoy teaching faith. Now, remember this. Faith is the master key. The reason why the devil is after it is because everything in life, you need faith. You can take it, and if you ever develop your faith, Satan cannot stop you. Nothing in this earth can stop you. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. You develop your faith and you feel just as free as a bird. Because you know nothing can stop you. No body, no person, no disease, no devil, no storms, no nothing. Nothing can stop you. Everything you can stop. Everything you can control by faith. It's a master key. A master key opens every door into place. Faith will open every door that the devil has tried to shut in your life. Faith will do it. So faith, you even need faith to love some folks, don't you? Okay, if you're here tonight and something that we've said has touched your heart, or you know in your heart that there's something not right between you and God, and God has been speaking to you, I want you to know right now that you're in the same place that I was some years ago. I was going to things and doing religious things, but I didn't have the Savior inside. I didn't have a true knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of it, I was a pretender, pretending that I had some things and trying to use the religious jargon and so forth. Well, certain things start happening in my life. And body got sick and got head over heels in debt, and things just start going downhill. Well, the reason why that happens is because I didn't have the truth. And the Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. And so things got ever increasing hard. And so what happened is one night I just cried out to God to ask him to help me. Well, God has a scripture in the Bible that says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You see, he's not trying to keep you out of something. He's trying to bring you into something. Jesus even said this, no one can come to me unless the Father has drawn him. That means that you couldn't have even come to this meeting tonight unless God had a hand in it. Well, I saw it on television. Well, my friend invited. No, friend. God only used that because that's the way you would respond, because he is God. But he's had his eye on you for years. And I'm here to tell you you're in the right place tonight, because this is a soul-saving station. I'm not asking you to join this church tonight. You can do that if you want to, but if God would speak to you and have you go somewhere else, at least this could be the place that you came and gave your life to the Lord. Now, what I want you to do is this. I want you to be honest with yourself, and I want you to take this whole message, or take what I'm saying right now, and push it aside. I want you to be honest. One of the reasons why is because there's a killer on the loose. His name is Satan. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he is one that is after us. Sometimes I believe he's put out a contract on people. But what is he trying to do? Trying to take them to an early death. But Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So once we come to God, he gives us protection. As a matter of fact, in these times where we have terrorism and evil things, God can give us protection from all of that. But what he needs you to do first is to come home. He needs you to come and give your life to Jesus. Let
God cleanse you and let him put your feet on the straight street and give you a brand new start. Now what happens when you come? Because of what Jesus did on the cross, your sins are blotted out. Not only that, but the blood of Jesus gets the guilt out of your mind of what things happened in your past. Why? So that you can truly be free. If you're here tonight and you say, Pastor Winston, that's me. You've been talking to me and some of the things that you said spoke right to my heart. I need to give my life to the Lord. Well, thank God for it, because that's why I came to town. I came to town to tell you the good news that God loves you, that he has not forgotten about you, and this is your night. I want to pray with you the same prayer that they prayed for me up on the north side of Chicago some years ago. That not only saved me, but the man of God laid hands on me. Power of God hit me, healed my body. Not only that, man of God told me how to get out of debt, and I owe no man nothing but the love. I'm saying what God did for Bill Winston, he's ready to do for you. He gave me a brand new start. If you're ready for a brand new start and you want to give your life to the Lord, I want to pray with you the same prayer they prayed for me. But here's what I need you to do. I need you to take a step of faith. Here's what I want you to do. Get up out of your chair. Come up here to the altar. Let me pray for you right now. Take a step of faith. Don't be ashamed of it. Come just like you are. Come just like you are. Come on, I'm waiting on you. That's right, sister. Come right on. Come on, over here. Whoever you are, come join me now. Praise God. Come join me. Don't be ashamed. Come on down. Come on down. Come on down. I'm waiting for you. Come on. Keep encouraged, saints. Satan, you can't hold. You cannot hold. In the name of Jesus. Come just like you are. Come just like you are. Let me try it one more time, because that's right, sister, just come on. I believe there's still some people. Come on. Come on, whoever you are. Come on down. Come on down. Come on down. If there's one more person, here's the good news, is that God had me delay everything because you're in the house and you didn't come yet. So if there's one more person, and you know that you should be up here to have me to pray with you so that you can leave this place a changed person, I want to pray with you right now. So I'm going to give you a last chance, last call. Come on up and join me right now. Make one more call too for a person who got saved but you're backslidden. You're out of the will of God and you know it. Now you're out there just acting like you've never been saved, but now you're ready to come home. You just happened to come here tonight and now I'm calling for you. Now this is going to really make the devil mad, because he thought he had you. Whoever you are, help me shame the devil. Get up out of your chair and come on up here right now. Come on up here with me. Thank you.
Come on down. Come on down. Come on down.
Please lift your right hand up to heaven for me as an act of your faith. And I want you to say this prayer with me. Dear Lord, I come to you now just as I am. You know my life and you know how I've lived. Forgive me, Lord. I repent of my sins. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died for my sins. And on the third day, he was raised from the dead. Lord Jesus, I ask you, come into my heart. Live your life in me and through me from now on. From this day forward, I belong to you. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Now, you put your hands down. Now. All right. Now, I'd like you to follow our minister here because he wants to give you some instructions. And he's going to take you right in that room, right outside the auditorium. If you came with somebody, they'll wait on you. But we've got to give you some instructions. Same instructions that I follow. Same instructions that they follow. Same instructions that the first church that ever got started in the earth, same instructions. All I want you to do is follow that. Now remember, what got you where you are is you following your own mind and not following the mind of Christ. So what I want you to do now is just follow the book. It's kind of like getting a new car and they give you an owner's manual with it. Just follow the manual. Just do what it says. And I guarantee you, as you follow those instructions and you leave this place tonight, you will never be the same again. God's going to change your life just like he changed mine, just like he changed so many other people. I want to thank you so much for coming and let you know that you're in the will of God and God's going to bless you real good. Turn to your right. Follow him. God bless you. God bless you. Good to see you. All right. Praise the name. All right. Amen. Say this with me. I hear
the voice of the
Good
Shepherd.
And only that voice
shall I follow.
From this night
and forward.
I'm going to
do
what God tells me to do.
I'm not
going
to look to the left.
I'm not
going to look to the right.
But
I'm going to keep my
eyes
on the
Word of God.
Father,
use me.
I am a
laborer together with
you.
And what
you want me to do,
give me the grace to do it.
From this day forward,
I'll not delay
receiving my
inheritance.
That inheritance
is mine.
It's laid
up for me.
And
from this day
forward,
I'm going to
possess it.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm blessed, and I'm a blessing. In the name of Jesus. Amen. All right. Praise God. Touch somebody's hand. Let's touch and agree. Father, we thank you, and it's with great, great respect and honor that we thank you and reverence the name of Jesus. And thank you that you called us for this hour. We weren't born back in 1812 or 1492. We were born right now. Because God, you place in us what it takes to change and rearrange this earth in this hour. Now, Lord, show us more. Teach us more out of your word. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. God is still speaking to me, boy. Now, yeah, just in this time, I'm hearing something. I normally let you go at this point, but I still hear people are waiting on God. And God is waiting on you. Now, I believe within the next 7 days, you are going to receive instruction that all you have to do is step out on it. And you will see as you go, you'll see the salvation of the Lord. In the name of Jesus. Give it up. All right. Praise God. God bless you. Sunday morning.
While in the Chicagoland area, Pastor Winston personally invites you to Living Word Christian Center. We're located at 7600 West Roosevelt Road in Forest Park, Illinois, just 20 minutes from downtown Chicago. Our Sunday services are at 7, 9, and 11 a.m. with a midweek Bible study Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. We have Spanish translators and sign language for the hearing impaired. A warm seat awaits you at Living Word Christian Center. For more information, please call 708-697-5000.